Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski in beautiful Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, he sounds good today.
I do.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, nothing exists. So honestly, thank you for sending us some of your hard-earned cash. Okay, today we are honored to have with us, she is the director of the brand new, dare I say, hit documentary, Hail Satan. We are joined by Penny Lane. Thank you so much for being on the show, Penny.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You need to pronounce the title correctly, Kissel. It is Hail Satan.
Hail
Satan. Because it's prompting the question, will you hail Satan? Shall I hail Satan?
I have a feeling a lot of people did. All right. So, Penny, I understand you used to be a teacher. You used to be a college professor.
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess my first little question here to get the ball rolling is, what do you want people to learn? What do you want people to take away from this documentary, Hail Satan?
Thank you so much for pronouncing the title of the movie correctly.
No problem.
Means a lot to me. I am a punctuation enthusiast.
You have to be. If you end a documentary with a question mark, it is very purposefully done.
I know. I think that the main thing I want people to take away from the documentary, not to like spoil the whole movie or anything, is to discover that they thought they knew what a Satanist was, most of them, have some idea about what Satanism is,
right,
what a Satanist believes, and that almost all of them are going to be completely wrong. And so I love that because for me, like, I love a work of art that, like, turns me around. Like, you mm-hmm. walk into the theater kind of with one view of the world and you walk out with a totally different view of the world. So I like that kind of art. And so I think this film is an attempt to make that kind of art, you know, and to do it with, like, a smile. It's not like it's like a painful, horrible, embarrassing experience. Like, most people have a pretty good time.
You do a really good job of portraying the TST with a sense of humor and also showing that they have a sense of humor. I think that that's really important, that a lot of times they come off, especially Lucian Greaves, who's great. I think he's a great front man for the Satanic Temple, but he can come off like very, very serious. And it was nice to see the playful side.
Yeah, this is the same guy that did place his testicles on the tombstone.
Yeah.
Fred Phelps's mom.
Oh, wow. Yeah. She finally got the teabagging she always wanted. Isn't that nice? That's
because
what the
Satanists
provide.
Because normally I imagine she was a chamomile woman.
Oh, yeah.
But now She's a ball bag woman, which is sad to say. I didn't mean to do this here. I'm sorry I did this like this, Penny.
we're all together now.
Yep.
My question, so now that you've done this process and you've met all of these Satanists, like, what was your alignment before and how do you feel now? Like, now that you've spent time with these guys, like what was your understanding of Satanism before you started? And what did you come out with?
I think that, like, you know, so when I was young, of course, like, I'm like, you know, of the right age to have grown up during Satanic Panic of the 80s and 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So certainly as a young person, my introduction to Satanism, like most of the people in my film, and frankly, most of the people in my audience, came from, like, daytime talk shows.
Right.
And yes, maybe like Rosemary's Baby, you know?
Yeah, Sally, ooh, Jesse, Raphael, like bringing all like the Satanists and their black cloaks on and all that shit. It's great.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, as you get a little older and you become like a little wiser, discovering that that was all complete bullshit, right? That like didn't happen. So then I thought for a long time there were no Satanists because that was all made up, right? Like, there weren't any Satanists running around doing all these terrible things. So only in my, like, later adult life did I discover, like, I sort of tangentially knew that there were people who called themselves Satanists. Mm-hmm. But my preconception, and I apologize, was that this was, like, a very kind of adolescent, teenage boy kind of rebellion, kind of a little bit silly, you know? Yeah. But kind of just like, you know, like, I put this pentagram on and that upsets people and that's why I do it. And that was kind of like my entire, and I didn't think about it at all. That was pretty much it. I never knew any Satanists. So I had this kind of vague preconception and left it there.
Well, so, Penny, you are 90% right. I do think there is something, because Henry will wear his Satan hat and he'll be like, oh, people looked at me pretty mean today. We're like, yeah, dude, we're in Utah. You know,
well,
like,
that's part of it is understanding.
You're in Utah.
That's where Kissel will not allow more than a surface level understanding of it, where it's about the symbolism. If you are a Satanist, the point of saying you're a Satanist, as far as I'm concerned, is to make people upset. That is the job, is to be vaguely provocative. But then what the TST is now seems to be doing very, very well is then offering a message alongside it.
Right. It's like, that's always how I think about it too. Like, perhaps there is that kind of, like, you know, eternal rebellion within all of us that, yeah, we do discover in adolescence. Like, so what? We discover a lot of good things in adolescence, you know, and rebelling against authority is one of those things. So for people who get into Satanism, you know, there has to be something more there to it than just like, this upsets my grandmother. Like,
yes,
nobody would like organize their entire life identity community around this if that's all it was. So that's kind of, now I think of it as being like, maybe you come for the trolling, but you stay for the deeply held religious beliefs.
But the idea, like, because it's a counter religion, and I really like the concept of it. Is truly, I think that now the term the devil's advocate has become twisted by the internet in a way that is very unpleasant. But it's truly like understanding the one of the weird satirical points of the satanic church, especially the Church of Satan, is the concept that no one's ever told the devil's story. The devil was always this kind of named villain with no backstory in the Bible that is also the reason why people stay in the Catholic Church, is the fear of the devil. So it's this whole guy, this incredible part, important part of the Christian church that has no real representation whatsoever. It's like being a pro defense attorney, where it's nobody understands like one day you're going to need that defense attorney. And as much as you, the perception is anybody that aligns themselves or needs a defense attorney is guilty, essentially. We're right. Like, no, one day you're going to need that person.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So Henry actually kind of mentioned for the first time that I've heard him mention this as a religion. And I think that that is one of the most fascinating things that's happening now, is it becomes more
solidified. I don't really believe it as a... That's the one thing about the TST. We'll talk about this. I'd like to talk about how you feel about the TST, like, actually starting to act like a religion.
Well, that was the question, yeah. So when you were going through this process, obviously I do think it started out as a little bit more satirical, but, you know, so did Vice, and we see where that's gone with Gavin McGinnis. But when it comes to them becoming a little bit more politically active, which I think is so interesting, because they're totally dead on. Ten Commandments in the courtroom. If you want to have the Ten Commandments, you should have the tenets of Satanism, which are really individualism, and I hold true to a lot of those beliefs. But what was, did you see the shift happening while you were covering them, where they were like, yeah, this is a little bit more goofy, we're just here to, you know, freak out the squares, to them sort of transitioning into like, this is a very serious constitutional issue that we're fighting here?
Well, you just kind of did two things. It sort of became more serious in two different ways.
Okay.
One of which was kind of becoming more of a quote unquote religion, or becoming more and more of a religious institution, behaving more like a church, right? And the other is really kind of seeing that it became more real in the sense of the stakes of the political battle became sort of bigger and bigger as well. It was no longer like a little joke in Florida or like a joke, you know, at the gravestone of Fred Phelps' mother. It became this like really big battle. So for me, the story was always like the story of how this idea became so real. Like, how does that happen? Like, how does like a religion go from an idea into like something really significant in the world? And I wasn't there at the beginning of this story. I didn't show up at the beginning of the Satanic Temple. I was there probably, if the film covers a 6-year period, I was there for like year 3 on.
So you didn't see it when it was just in their apartment buildings. Like, you didn't see it, just them hanging out.
And I think my whole perception would be so different if I had been there, you know?
Right.
And it's also like really hard to tell the story in a way that feels 100% accurate and inclusive, because there's so many different people involved. And a lot of them came in and left at various points. So like, we have to be careful, like, who are we talking about? Because for Lucian, it was never a joke. Lucian was already a Satanist at the beginning. And he practiced that religious identity. So it wasn't like he thought, oh, this would be funny if we had this joke. Like, he was a Satanist, and he knew he was speaking for other Satanists at the moment where he said, like, we are the Satanic Temple and here's what we believe. He knew that would, like, be appealing to a lot of other Satanists out there who maybe weren't so into the Church of Satan, but didn't have, like, another place to go as far as, like, a church. Like, it's basically like a Satanic Reformation, right? Like, for 40, 50 years, you had, like, one church of Satanism, the Church of Satan. And then the Satanic Temple offers itself up as, like, this new satanic, kind of new twist on, like, the Satanic religious philosophy.
Well, I guess from your time spent with them, I guess that's a part of me, to me, as a Satanist, it is almost, there's a part of that that is very concerning, that I, a part of, I think, the original idea behind Satanism, and when you follow, because, like, I really, like, as problematic as he can be, I love Anton LaVey. I think he's amazing. I like his original impetus for what the show, what the idea of Satanism was. Where it's like, he never took the group part of it that seriously. It was about individuals expressing will against what they believe a gigantic collective state, right? A part of being a Satanist is that you are it's a lone wolf thing, and you pick and choose who you hang out with. I like the fact that the Church of Satan, like, if you go, you essentially just, you can pay for a membership card, but they'll just take your money. But that's all it is.
They don't, like, invite you to something else after that. Yeah.
But that's what I am concerned about, the Satanic Temple becoming a religion, because this is my question. Like, I don't know how you feel. It's like, do you feel that there is an inherently corrupting energy inside this group behavior, and then appointing yourself as leader of it? Like, essentially, like, you then become, you're now head Satanist. I know Lucian Greaves seems to be very hesitant.
No.
Yeah.
About being one.
Yeah. I think that, like, you know, I would say that there's the potential for that corrupting institution. Absolutely.
I don't know. This is just more of an open discussion. I don't know how you feel, like, inside with them.
Yeah.
Right.
The potential is there for, like, some kind of corruptive. And then there are people who would say, in all fairness, that that's already happening. There are plenty of people who have left the Satanic Temple, including Jex Blackmore, who's in the film.
I want to talk about Jex very much so, because she's my favorite person in the entire documentary.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
so
let's talk about her. So my understanding, I was talking to my friend Sarah Lyons, who was in the documentary for like a split second, and you would have thought she was the star because she was like, I was in it, and I saw myself. It was a panning shot, and she was just so happy to be in it. She's a wonderful friend, a great person. But she was saying regarding Jex Blackmore, she did something where she said something inflammatory about Donald Trump being injured, which I think is something that all of us think about and hope for on a daily basis.
You just can't even say the words because you're afraid we're going to get kicked off our own network.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to fire Marcus and Henry are going to sit me down just like they did with Miss Blackmore and say, you're out of here. So what happened with that instance? What happened with that instance? And was it because the TST wants to expand to be as mainstream as possible? So they said, oh, you said something inflammatory about the president, so now we have to kick you out of the group. Can you just kind of break down that story a little bit and maybe the motivation for getting her out of there?
Yeah, and for our listeners, can you, like, if they haven't maybe not seen that, because I don't want them to spoil it, because it's literally my favorite scene in the entire documentary. I love her performance. But you, if you could just explain what happened, and then
Maybe we'll do spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen it yet, pause and fast forward 5 minutes. Spoiler alert.
Well, essentially, I should say that the film primarily tracks two kind of spokespeople for the Satanic Temple over a period of time, right? So one of them is Lucian Greaves, who we've already mentioned, who is one of the co-founders and current spokesperson and, like, head, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has another title other than spokesperson and co-founder, right? Which, again, gets back to that lack of desire he has to be seen as, like, chief Satan guy.
Because he knows that if you're coming for the throne, how many people are going to come for the throne? Satanists are supposed to go and attack you.
Let
now.
Let me tell
if
you. You know. Yeah. Satanists are a very big pain in the butt.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't want to be in charge of all the Satanists. Thankless job.
Yes.
Anyway, so the other main person we track over time is Jex Blackmore, who was not a co-founder, but was a very early collaborator. She was on the ground involved super early in the movement's trajectory. And she was also kind of co-spokesperson for a period of time. So Lucian and Jex were like the two public faces, really, of the Satanic Temple for like a couple years. And as was alluded to in the spoiler alert, Jex Blackmore, who's an incredible activist, artist, and performer, very charismatic, incredibly brilliant, genius of a woman. And she's really does these amazing ritual performances. And this one ritual performance that she did that we were at and we were filming was not an official Satanic Temple event. It feels important to say.
Yes.
You know, she was a spokesperson for the Satanic Temple at the time that she did it. So understandably, a little bit of a gray area in terms of like, is this a TST event or not?
Okay.
But in that performance, she, you know, has this kind of incredibly intense, beautiful kind of ramping up in the language sort of moment where she's telling you to rebel in various ways. And one of the things she says was seen as being taken too far. You know, like language that could be interpreted as calling for the assassination of the president, even though it's not what she said. I mean, you know, it's kind of like in context, it's much more ambiguous. But it is possible to believe that the what she did in this performance could have been harmful to the Satanic Temple. At least that was the Satanic Temple's point of view.
So she expressed a thought that millions and millions and millions of people think on a second-to-second basis regarding Donald Trump. Okay,
and no one's allowed to express.
I guess not.
To me, the one person, and because I think that's what was so beautiful about it. Because that's a part of me, that's the Satanist true part of me, is that Nat, my wife and I are sitting watching this thing and like literally being like, that is beautiful.
Right,
I love to see the, it is a gigantic ceremony that is a like, a, say what you will, I do not believe magically you should be calling for the anybody to be hurt because it comes back at you. Like that it's kind of, that's a part of the, if you're doing it in a ritual setting, you're going to get that bad juju back no matter what, even if it is against somebody who truly, truly does deserve it. It's because you get the check. No matter what. But the fact that they then decided to be an arbiter of what was appropriate for the Satanic Temple was a thing that kind of really irks me. Like, I think that she's somebody that, like, actually fully imbued Satanist thoughts and principles. And I like the way you portrayed her. And she was also doing such a great... she brought theatricality and performance to the edge where that's where it started. That's where the idea of it, that part of it is the performative part.
I want to talk about theatrics in a second, but just quickly going back to what Henry was alluding to. So she gave this great presentation, really awesome, powerful, theatrical work, calls for the assassination of the president. And then what did the TST do? And why did they respond the way they did?
I have to say one more time, she did not call for the execution of the president. That would be like a really serious accusation. But in the context of this performance, in a list of increasingly absurd ideas like release snakes in the governor's mansion, kidnap an executive. Like it's this weird list of like Abby Hoffman like. Free like your mind ideas.
It's like National it's Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes, yes, it is.
I just want to say that because, like, you know, she's obviously a nonviolent person.
Of course.
In the room, nobody in the room interpreted this as a literal call for violence. I just want to be clear that it was.
Okay, I apologize. I shouldn't have framed it that way.
Yeah,
okay, great.
You know,
good clarification.
Obviously, it is a very contentious thing to have said and done. And yes, the Satanic Temple then asked her to step down as spokesperson and kicked her out entirely. I would say like they already had rules. It's not like this was like the first time there was ever any check on what someone in a position of being a spokesperson for the Satanic Temple could and couldn't say. I mean, those rules were there from the beginning and they're really strict about not about what you can do on your own time or what you can believe or say, but if you're acting in an official capacity for the Satanic Temple, there are a lot of rules in place about what you can and can't say. So I think that's perfectly reasonable. You know, I mean, I understand Henry's kind of feeling of it being like, no, this is like, because I agree with you. Like, of course, there's a part of me that's like, you can't do that. Like, this is so satanic.
Right.
And it's like it is the perfect example of a satanic action. It is literally exactly what it's supposed to be. But I also, I get it. I know what they're trying to do. It's a partially like what you have to, I guess there is a part of it of the, when you move to being more massively accepted. Like, if they are moving to truly to the idea of a mainstream idea of the TSC really wants to go mainstream, the things that come with it are really going to change the stances.
I wouldn't even interpret it that way. I don't think they're trying to be mainstream. I don't think anyone calls themselves a Satanist because they're trying to be mainstream. But they have to think about the safety of their members, for example. Like, so all of a sudden, let's say that one member, whoever it is, some rogue member, starts saying and acting in a certain way that puts all of them under heightened risk for attacks. They get constant death mail, constant credible death threats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not like, and then, of course, the whole idea of alerting the federal government, the Secret Service or the CIA, that they should, like, come investigate this satanic organization. Think about how badly that could go for the people involved.
Yeah.
Many of whom can't even use their real names in a public way because they have children in school. They have relatives they're worried about. I mean, like, they live in parts of the country where it's, like, not okay to be a Satanist. So,
right.
I think that from a point of view of just protecting the well-being of their members, they have to be careful. Do I think that this situation was handled perfectly? No.
But what do you find, like, hanging out with them all personally, though? Like, did you come away with friends? Like, do you feel like you came away with a community? Like, would you go back? Do you go and hang with them? Like, do you?
I you know, there's a little bit of, like, you know, like, if you're a journalist or a filmmaker, a documentary filmmaker, like, you're kind of the kind of person typically who's a little bit outside looking in, right? Which is why I related to the Satanists in the first place. Like, I get the idea of, like, being a little bit on the outside of society and kind of, like, observing from over here.
Yeah.
But for me, like, that kind of, like, anti-group sentiment, that, you know, kind of much more individualist sentiment prevents me from joining a religion. And certainly Satanism was the first religion I ever considered joining. But ultimately I didn't. Like, it doesn't resonate for me. Like, the images and the art and, like, the mythology, it doesn't do anything for me, like, inside, you know. So I really feel like an ally, but not a part of it.
Right. Well, that's what's so difficult, I think, when it comes to organizing a religion that's predicated on individualism. I dabbled in libertarianism for a little while, and there's a lot of political similarities. When Henry started going to, like, Satanist meetings and I was going to libertarian meetings, we would both come back and be like, we're the charming ones.
Like, yes, yeah, like, actually, oh God. Oh no, yeah.
When you actually meet them, you're like, oh, this is what that group is like. Okay.
Yeah, like, this is not good. I can't really be.
I think that's such an interesting parallel. I have the same experience, and it's like, you, like, you feel like you're so weird and you're so isolated, and then you're like, there are these people that are just like me. And then you meet them and you're like, yeah, they're really weird.
They're really weird, yeah.
That's a part of it, right?
In many ways, in the best sense.
The main way of putting it is, like, to say, like, they have crappy social skills, but, you know.
It's hard. You got to learn how to do it. But we're hams, so it was easier for us, which is, like, I understand as an extrovert, you could kind of have a little bit easier in terms of a public face.
You guys could run probably most of the meetings that I was at for the Satanic Temple with no problem. You know. Because it really is like, I mean, I was extremely moved by the kind of testimony of the people I met. Like, I was not really expecting to go around the country and meet, you know, members of TST in Boston and Arizona and Seattle and all over who would say so consistently how much this has changed their lives. How hugely important this has been for the development of their sense of self, their ability to feel like they can have agency in the world. Because the downside of being an individual is you kind of can't do anything. Like, it's really hard. So I have that same sense of, like, not wanting to join groups, but I am also extremely aware of what I'm missing
from
not joining a group, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I left feeling very sad that I wasn't a Satanist, because if I was, I would have found my tribe.
I'm just
still, like, a lonely atheist.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm a lonely atheist, agnostic as well.
Well, I feel the same way about being a Satanist, though, now still, though, is that I'm still very wary of joining a group of people that all say that they agree to a thing.
I think that's what most Satanists believe. And if the film has a failure, there's probably it's that I didn't explain that enough. That to this day, it's still the case that most people who think of themselves as Satanists fitness. They're more like you. They don't want to join a group and like wave a banner together, you know?
Because it's hard because I'm still suffering. I'm still bitterly suffering the loss of the religious belief I had as a kid. Like the way that I fell out of my faith with the Catholic Church was deeply, deeply painful to me at some point as a young person. And I will never forgive them. I'll never forgive them. And
Henry will never forgive his priest for not molesting him. He actually does carry that with him. I have heard you mention that a series of times where you said you were there. You were ready to go.
I was ready to be sucked. But would they? Would they? Couldn't they not have taught me? Why not me?
It's so gross. But going back, so when it comes to the church, what they're trying to do now, I don't want to get in the weeds of politics, but I know this the film is kind of political. When it comes to their individualism, how are they organizing? Because I think like setting up the Baphomet statue is great. Love their First Amendment stances where it's just like, hey man, again, as I mentioned, 10 commandments in the courtroom, let's get the tenets of Satanism in there. How are they doing as far as organizing, you know, and sort of, you know, kind of, getting all these individuals together to be one group of people to stand up and actually fight for their First Amendment rights? Because it is it's an uphill battle to say the least.
It is an uphill battle. And I think like if there was one thing that I kind of like, actually, I'll answer your earlier question better now. If there was one thing I wanted people to know, it was that there was this group of people who were fighting for all of our First Amendment rights. And it's very surprising to discover that they were Satanists. Mm. Like, who knew that there was this organized group of Satanists who were kind of putting not only their energy, but their names, their reputations, their money, their time, like, you know, really putting their lives on the line to fight for pluralism, to fight for everyone's rights, and that they weren't trying to get like a piece for themselves and go home and like, you know, eat it, I guess.
Yes, yes, yes.
Actually trying to like make sure that everyone has the same rights and that they were like, you know, kind of out. And I think that's heroic. Like,
yeah, it just, absolutely.
To me, like, this is heroic behavior. And I thought that I wanted to elevate the role of like the skeptic and the outsider and the heretic who's willing to take this on to like a heroic status, you know? So that's a different question than you asked me. So the way that they're organizing is that they basically, you know, there's local chapters and at the local level, politics is local, and local chapters, when they apply to be a chapter, identify specific areas in their area. Like, no one can just be a chapter to have fun and hang out. Like, when you apply to be a chapter, you apply with action plans.
Oh, wow.
Then you're like held accountable to those action plans. So you're not just like, well, we want to have parties once a month or something.
Right. So it's way more like a gigantic activist group than even a religion. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then so, of course, there are tons and tons of people who maybe weren't Satanists earlier or kind of had heard about Satanism but didn't like the Church of Satan, so kind of got turned off of it, who now are like reinvigorated with this idea of like the satanic identity. You know, again, we can talk about the scale. Like, not everyone thinks of it as a religion. That's fine.
Right. Sure.
I tend to think of it that way, but that's just because from my perspective, it felt like. But, you know, but lots of people don't. They think it's a philosophy or like a worldview. Totally fine. Anyway, people are attracted to that idea. And the Satanic Temple, I think, made it much more, gave it new energy, right? Don't you think? Like, Anton LaVey was a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Well, this is... Yeah, for both of you guys, actually, because I know both of you guys are kind of experts on this. What's the difference between the Church of Satan and the aforementioned Satanic, what is it, the Satanic Temple and the Church of Satan? Are those the two?
Yeah, the TSC and the happened? Church of Satan.
What happened with the divide there?
They genuinely, it seems from my understanding, is that the Church of Satan is viewed as hokey by the Satanic Temple. That the Church of Satan was kind of where it came from back when it was like, it really was social parties in San Francisco in the original days, where the Church of Satan was, it was way more about magic. There was magic rituals. Where it seems to be, and tell me what you think, Penny, too, is it seems to be the Satanic Temple is using these in way more, is using the imagery and the lessons behind the Satanic Bible and all that kind of shit in a way more kind of, political ways and less wooey.
Well, it's funny because, like, yes, that's also true. But one other thing that I think people forget is that, like, one of the first things Anton LaVey did when he organized the Church of Satan was he performed gay weddings in San Francisco.
Oh,
so, like, you can't tell me that Anton LaVey didn't have any sense of political consciousness, right?
I know.
Because, like, think about 1966, gay weddings in San Francisco. So, like, I don't think the line between, like, we are political and we are apolitical is quite as clear as, like, the current conflict likes to pretend. But I would say the conflict boils down to the Church of Satan believes that Satanism is an individualistic religion, and the very idea of having a satanic community is absurd.
Yes.
So okay.
So they think the Satanic Temple's kind of idea that you could have satanic community, that you could join together in groups and act as one, as Satanists, is unsatanic and blasphemy. So the Church of Satan at this point, it kind of like, from my vantage point, and I did spend a lot of time on this project looking into these things, and I did interview someone from the Church of Satan as well. We just didn't use it in the film. They kind of don't do anything, and they're proud of that. Like,
right.
You know, so someone was like, why don't you do a film in the Church of Satan? And I'm like, what would that film be? Like,
you would just be hanging out with me, just being like, yeah, we can go and do, I could show you my burrito map of Los Angeles. Like, I can go, that's
ooh,
what I do.
You know, as far as
honestly,
I can tell, what the Church of Satan does on a day-to-day basis is like search for the words the Satanic Temple on the internet and comment to make sure that people know that the Church of Satan does not believe that they are real Satanists. That seems to be their primary activity.
So we have two trolls going after each other, but at least one of the trolls is trying to protect the rights.
But
I've had to mute so many people on Twitter. You have no idea.
Oh, we could entertain.
What are they saying? You know everything.
No, but you're part. No, I'm with you. But no, this is it. It's interesting because I feel like that's their problem, right? Is the fact that they are not controlling their own image. They have no clue how to project themselves in any way, shape, or form, referring to the Church of Satan. They don't really understand that actually there's a bunch of people, me included, would actually be, it would be, we don't need a central governing body, but it definitely would be nice to have somebody to express this out loud, like literally just being like, we just don't believe that we just don't, the idea of even having a leader is so anti this whole thing that, like, I don't know what to do, but, like, it should be like little clans, like little groups of people that just so happen to choose to hang out with each other. But I get it. I get what Lucian Greaves is doing.
It's also funny because the Church of Satan is, like, super hierarchical, and they're really into their, like, titles, like, I'm the magister of whatever.
Yes.
Like, you know, whereas the Satanic Temple really is much more influenced by some of the more recent, you know, more decentralized activist movements, right? Like Black Lives Matter or, you know, sort of these ideas where you can have these local.
The idea goes.
Yeah. And I think that was originally the idea. Like Lucian described to me, like what I thought I was going to do, because Lucian is not especially excited to be the leader of an international religious movement. That was like not what he thought I was going to do with his life, like at all.
Right.
And in some ways, he's not very well suited for it. I think it's safe to say, like,
well, because you have to have, like, I feel like you have to have like an intrinsic corrupted gene to want to do that. You have to be a twisted person.
You think about like who wants to be the head of, like, who wants to be the president of the United States? Like, that's already a really demented group of people.
Yes.
People who want to be the head of a religious organization is like a weird, you know. So anyway,
but
so,
then you could also make the argument the fact that he doesn't want it is why he's so perfect for it.
No, it's true.
I mean, I don't know, because it's the people who want to be like, I want to be the head of the Church of Satan. And
I
like,
to agree with you. And that's something that they've been very aware of from the beginning. Like, can the Satanic Temple as an institution resist these corrupting kind of dogmatic things that happen to every other religious organization?
Right.
They would say, we think we can because read the tenets. Like, we think we can because, like, the basic philosophy is so much about challenging authority.
Right.
And they really do live that way. Like, again, it looks like, oh, here's this happy group of Satanists who all get along and believe the same things. That is not what's going on. Like, every one of those trapdoors is full of strife. None of them enjoy taking orders, right? So I don't think it's, like, a classic top-down situation at all. I would say it's, like, totally chaotic. And they're trying to figure it out as they go.
Yeah, Lucian Greaves has really got a friggin' job ahead of him. Like, this is
nightmare.
I never once envied any of the people who I met who were like at the leadership positions in the Satanic Temple. No. Like I would rather die.
Just being at a budgetary meeting and looking at 50 of me.
Oh
just
my
all being
God.
Like, no. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you're telling me.
I would. Yes, I would. Oh my God. Rather.
You're
going
to deal with one amica.
No, I would rather be a union boss and like tell them we're cutting benefits than to have to go in and try to do a budgetary meeting with a bunch of Satanists. But did you get the sense at all? Did anyone have any hesitation to? I know that you said they don't want to become mainstream. But let's be honest, I mean, at least I see it everywhere now. Hail Satan. Like even I think our friends over at Broad City, their entire marketing campaign for their final season was about Hail Satan and stuff. Did you sense any hesitation to this sort of mainstreaming, the sort of, I guess, hot topicing, for lack of a better term, of Satanism? Were there some people being like, we don't need to expand and be for everyone. Like we are a group of people that if we do get so big and mainstream, we lose all of our power because now people can see us as the authority figures that we're fighting against.
Well, the hot topicing of it is really a separate matter that has nothing to do with the Satanic Temple, right? Like okay. That just is in culture. Like
it's just beautiful. To be honest, there's a part of me that really likes it because the guy that basically introduced me to Satanism was the guy that was the head designer of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, the show that I do where I'm fully dressed as a demon. He is a full-on Satanist, and he at one point, he's like, I'm going to tell you this right now, bud. 5 years from now, people are going to be saying Hail Satan every day. And once that started happening, I think it feels good. It feels good to see hashtag Hail Satan. I think it's fucking great.
Yeah, I think so, too. And so staying on that topic, like, you know, I mean, I asked this question so many different times throughout the filming of this project, like, you know, what would happen if like Satanism became mainstream or something, right? And they just all said, like, we'd have to have a new religion because there always has to be, like, an outside figure that's fighting the establishment. And if Satanism was the mainstream religion, then they'd be what? They'd be Christians or something? Like,
straight up, they'd have to adopt that cool Jesus stuff that young ministers do. It's like Jesus with like sunglasses on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do think we're quite a ways away from a president putting their hand on the church of on like the satanic Bible while being sworn in. So I don't think we're quite close enough for it to be mainstreamed in that sense. But yeah, that is so they would say that they would have to it can be too big to fail.
Yes, and the other answer to your question is that no one in the Satanic Temple is trying to quote unquote get bigger. Like no one's trying to like get more members or get the membership numbers up and let's get more people involved. Like I would say the opposite is true. If you look at how newbies are treated in like the Satanic community, they tend to get a little bit of shit, you know, like it's like no one's going to be like, oh, yay, you're here. Let me bring you to the Bible study. And like, you know, people are like, not that way at all. Like, if you are a new Satanist, you are expected to figure it out on your own, do your homework, do all the reading, and then come back and ask questions at like a more advanced level. So they are not proselytizing. They're not trying to become bigger.
Okay.
Like, my film makes Satanism look very appealing to a much larger number of people than I think it's fair to say, have ever considered before.
Yes.
So to the extent that like my film has sent some traffic to them, that's true. But most of those people are going to get into the Facebook group and immediately realize they're not Satanists.
Did you get any blowback from the TST from the documentary? Was anyone like, you did mainstream us too much. Now we're getting all these weirdos showing up. You know,
let me tell you, I think the quality of people they're getting from my movie is better than the quality of people they were getting from other weird places.
So they weren't upset with that at all?
I mean, okay. I definitely thought a lot when we were making it about like, you know, wanting to make sure that we weren't trying to sanitize something that, you know, was otherwise unpalatable. But that just isn't what we did. Like, I feel like we told the truth about the people we met and what they believe and what they do. And if people find that appealing, it's like not my problem. Like that's what it is. Like, I'm sorry if you like Satanism. It's not because like I dressed it up and made it nicer.
Right.
I think that you did it. I think you did a really good job. I think that it, I think a part of it is, I like that it has an obvious perspective. I think that it's, and it's true that, yeah, they will get some, the type of person it speaks to was really good, because both, like, you know, it's like me and Natalie both like cheering, like as we were watching, we're like, yeah, go get them. You know, like we're having a good
time. People are so surprised by the film, because no one is walking into a film called Hail Satan and expecting to walk out with like this sense of like joy and uplift and inspiration. Like that's like the opposite of what they're expecting, you know? And I think it's really great. And it does make people think like, look, the world we live in is full of problems. And like you want to find ways to solve them. And like, sometimes you find people who are solving it in ways that aren't for you, but it does hopefully inspire you to go home and think about the way you want to approach those problems, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. So I mentioned theatrics a little bit before. What was your biggest takeaway from just the theater of it all? Because when we covered, oh my gosh, Henry, what was that where they actually had the fake, they had the chalice and everything? And they
when we covered, when we were doing our work on necromancy.
Yes, necromancy. The theatrics just sounded so much fun. What was your thoughts when you saw the first, like, I don't know, presentation?
I mean, I think that, you know, the role of art and mythology and narrative and, you know, images and music, these are all like really deep fundamental parts of what makes humans humans. Right. And I guess like this is a bit of an abstract answer, but for me, like I'm a documentary filmmaker, so I'm equally engaged every day in my own practice between trying to make coherent arguments with my words, you know, that are like logical and sound, and then also trying to engage people in a very different way with images and sounds and like, you know, kind of analogy and metaphor. And so I'm very kind of versed in like the interplay between those two things and also how they don't overlap entirely. And that was kind of part of what I did with like Jex and Lucian, which is a little bit unfair because of course Lucian can make good images and Jex can make good arguments. So it's not exactly fair that I kind of typecast them in my film, but I was trying to like bring to life.
I see the difference in their approaches. I think that you did a good job because there is obviously a difference in approach.
There is a difference. I just don't want to make it seem like somehow Jex has no ideas and Lucian has no clue about art. Like that's not true, but they
right,
do
of course.
They do have.
I got more out of Jex.
Yeah.
Like that's what I was saying. I got more out of the presentation than I got. Not that I really like Lucian Greaves. I think he's really fucking cool.
Especially because from where you're coming from, like none of the things that Lucian's really saying are new to you. Like you're like, yeah, no crap. Like that's what Satanism is, you know?
Right.
So for like an average viewer who doesn't know anything about Satanism, like they have a different experience with Lucian. They can't believe how well-spoken he is, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, honestly, I really hope that they get in front of the 9 most powerful goths in this country, a.k.a. the Supreme Court. And I really hope that they're able to have true change, because it seems like this could be the strangest sort of back way in for, you know, First Amendment rights for that will affect everyone, all religious groups across the country. Do you think they ever kind of hold themselves to the standard of like, we're helping not just Satanists, but we're also helping maybe people, maybe Muslim folks or maybe people who have religions who aren't being represented right now in government or in film or in television? Do they sort of feel like they're fighting for everyone?
Oh, yeah. And especially, and not just people of minority religions, but people with no religion, which is a very difficult group to stand up for. Like,
right.
Who stands for the atheist lobby, you know, or whatever?
Yeah, right. I know.
You know, the world is becoming more and more atheist, right? Like, you can just look at the Pew Research polling. It's like a one-way arrow. People are, like, out the door.
Right.
Unorganized religion.
Yes.
You still have this special protected status in the United States government for religious believers. And we do not extend those rights and exemptions to other types of believers.
No, look, Scientology is getting a tax break. And if we're doing this, if we are this far along where this group that is so obviously deeply corrupt, besides the Catholic Church, which is just being like, should be melted down, like, besides all of that, like, that already, like, that we are protecting them constantly.
Right.
It's good that they're there because it's a nice little, like, just stick in the eye. Like, every single time someone's going to bring up this religious freedom bullshit, they're right there being like, us too. You got to deal with me. But I was hoping, I just want some more like naked dudes on chains, like at the White House. Like, I want more of that. I want more of these guys being like, with like a lawyer, like full on, like they are ready to go. They're wearing a pentagram leather harness with their dick out, and they are delivering cogent points about religion.
I have a feeling that there's a lot of senators who also want naked men on chains. Yes. Like Lindsey Graham would just be like, I didn't even know.
I would just also say for you, Henry, that if you're into Jex Blackmore, lucky you, because she's still around and she still does all the same amazing satanic art and activism that she was doing as part of the Satanic Temple and was doing before the Satanic Temple. Like, I definitely don't want to give the impression that she's retired in some way.
No, absolutely. No, I love it. I was just talking about in the context of all this.
If you want naked men on chains, I think she's your go-to. That's all I'm saying. Follow her on Instagram.
Henry, maybe you could be one of those naked men on chains.
You don't think I wouldn't be? Of course I would be. The only problem is I have too much body hair and it gets caught in the links. It's very difficult to take off chains.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Penny. Henry, is there anything else you wanna talk about?
Honestly, if there's anything else you're working on, or if you have anybody, if you want to lead our audience towards any other good resources, because people ask me all the time what they should read, and I basically just say read the Satanic Bible and read the Satanic Witch, but I don't know if there's anything else that you read that the audience would be super into that
surprised
you. I think
it's really funny that you direct, when was the last time you read the Satanic Bible?
Recently.
Really?
I think it's interesting.
You like it? It's.
I would. I think the thing
like
about me.
Exclamation points. I find it really weird and embarrassing.
That's how I write. But a part of it is it's distilling it to what works for you. So for me, I get the same feeling that when I read it for the first time, each time I read it, it fills me with excitement. But I also know it's old school.
Yeah.
But you can just, it's like, how do you just take these the bits of wisdom from it that I really, really enjoy, and the rest of it I can just get rid of. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Satanic Temple's website probably has lots of links to readings that they would suggest. They don't have a canon per se. Like, they have like kind of recommended reading lists. But I would say that if your listeners are interested in this topic, they should probably try to catch my film while it's still in theaters, because it's a very good introduction to the topic. And it's playing in theaters now, but like, who knows how much longer it will be, because if people don't buy tickets, it will go away.
Get your tickets, folks. And
congrats on getting distribution for this.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Thank you. It's been really great. Like, I made this film and I'm so proud of it and I really like it, but I didn't know what the commercial prospects for it would be, right? Because nobody knows they want to see like an uplifting documentary about Satanism.
Well, speaking of sort of, you know, mainstreaming it just a little bit, I mean, it's Magnolia Pictures that is the production company, right? The people that kind of put it all over the country, which is so funny. Also, if you're in New York, it's still at IFC. So if you're in New York City, go to IFC and check out the
documentary. Believe it's playing, and in LA, I believe it's playing at the Lemley. There's
it's playing like all over the place. People should just check the website.
Right,
it's like,
sweet.
You know, like it's like over 120 cities now, but it's like,
that's great.
Let me be clear though. Like that new anti-abortion movie by PureFlix, that went out in like 4,500 theaters. So my 120 cities does not sound nearly as impressive when you put it. Luckily though, Satanism sells tickets. So you know what else sells tickets is protesters. So if people want to go out in front of the theaters and pretend to be upset about the Hail Satan movie.
That's good.
That's the Hegelian dialectic. Control the opposition.
That's I think that's what the Russians did in 2016, didn't they?
They're smart. They beat us. They won. We should be like impressed by the Russians.
I am actually.
It's nice to talk to you guys, and especially you, Henry, because you're one of the only Satanists that I knew of in popular culture.
That's so nice. Ed, thank you so much for talking to us.
Not any other ones, are there? I mean, I guess there's Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson, I don't think, is a Satanist. He likes wine. And I think that anybody else that would say it out loud, I'm not really sure. I don't know. I know that there's one. I think there was a guy from like the O-Town. Remember O-Town?
I remember O-Town. Yeah, weren't they made by MTV, like in a reality show?
It's somebody. I am like not shitting you. It's like that guy. It's like the guy with the dreads from Backstreet Boys. It's like one of those guys.
That's so funny. All right. Well, Penny, thank you so much for being on the show. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
Your perspective.
It was really fun, guys. Thank you so much.
Right from your grave.
There it was. That was awesome, Henry.
She's great.
Very
She's great.
Good.
I love that documentary.
Yeah. I mean, absolute powerful, impactful stuff.
It had the same emotional reaction to me as, you remember the, it was the Miracle on the Ice?
The Russians versus
when we
the
beat
US,
the Russians.
The Olympic hockey.
That's how that made me feel, that documentary. Hail Satan made me feel
such,
like that.
That is, I would have never thought that that was going to be the association. But
why?
Yeah,
we win, man.
I've never heard you mention Miracle on the Ice in my entire life.
You've never
life.
Seen that?
No,
it's
I've
great.
I've seen it. I know. I just never heard you mention.
I just thought of
inspired
it.
By a sports documentary like that.
No, but. It is. It's that's how it is. I like sports documentaries.
They are good. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And again, thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. And yeah, we had a wonderful time meeting everyone in KC and Denver and in Salt Lake City. So we'll be on the road going forward here. So be
yeah,
sure
man,
to
we did
up.
It. We had a great weekend. That was a lot of fun.
We really did. And of course, you get first dibs on tickets if you are a member of our Patreon. So thank you.
You get
so
them
much
dibs.
For- you get them dibs.
Yeah, them dibs.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Thank you for your fucking money.
Thank you. Thank you.